Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Football NYC here on YesNetwork.com. I am Joe Auriemma here with Ross Tucker. Ross, it's amazing. The Giants, in one of the most embarrassing losses in the history of Giants Stadium, they lose that game, and I'm here hosting Football NYC. What is that about?
I'm glad you brought that up, Joe, because I want to talk about Joe Callow. I'm sorry. Unbelievable that Joe Callow, one of the biggest Giants fans out there,
yes,
and the normal co-host with me of right. Football NYC, right here on YesNetwork.com, he's always either sick or has some excuse, some reason not to show up after the Giants have an embarrassing performance. And Joe, that's exactly what Sunday was. I don't know how I can sit here and have an explanation for it, because they sure don't. The players don't. The coaches don't. Everybody's at a loss for words. Everybody's shocked. Nobody knows. I know this much. It is unacceptable on so many levels, with everything they had riding on it, for the offense to play that way, especially for the defense to play that way. It's got to be really disheartening. And I don't know, Joe, if you are a Giants fan as well, but
I am.
I can't imagine the last time a Giants fan would have felt as deflated as they felt on Sunday.
It's funny because, you know, I've been to Giant games where they've had bad performances and I've heard the crowd boo. They didn't even boo the Giants this week. They were just more disappointed in the way the team went out and performed. I mean, giving up 41 points to a team that's out of the playoffs with a backup quarterback.
Yeah, like his seventh start ever.
It's unbelievable that the Giants, in their final performance at Giants Stadium, with everything riding on it, a playoff game essentially for them, and they come out and they just have an absolute clunker.
Well, you have to question their coaching. You have to question their veteran leadership. Very hard for me to do both those things. I've got a tremendous amount of respect for Tom Coughlin, Kevin Gilbride offensively. I don't know Bill Sheridan as much. I have a ton of admiration for Eli Manning, Sean O'Hara, you know, a lot of the veteran guys. Antonio Pierce is obviously not playing. And by the way, that might be one of the problems right there, because you just get the sense that there are certain things Antonio just wouldn't stand for.
Right.
But I don't know how they could go out there and put forth that type of performance. I mean, they didn't look like they were prepared in any way. They didn't look like they had the emotion. You know, and it makes you wonder, Joe, because they've had other games. So primetime games, like the Arizona game, where they just came out so flat.
Yeah, I mean, this is another game where the Giants are really, they've been Jekyll and Hyde all year. Sometimes you get the good Giants in a game like Washington last week,
yeah.
And then this week they come out and they absolutely spit the bit. And not only that, but to give up 200 yards to Jonathan Stewart, when in the history of Giants Stadium, they had never allowed a 200-yard runner to run against them, is just mind-boggling to
and
me.
And the Carolina Panthers, number one, D'Angelo Williams, who, by the way, is their best running back, he didn't play.
Wasn't even in the game.
Number two, they've got guys starting, you know, Jeffrey Schwartz and Mackenzie Bernardo. They've got injuries all over the place. They lost both starting offensive tackles. This isn't Jordan Gross and Jeff Ota. This is Travell Wharton bumping out to left tackle. This is not the great Panthers offensive line, or even the solid one they had last year. And if he didn't get that one run called back, he would have had over 250.
Yeah, because it was the 53-yard run called back with the penalty. They just couldn't stop him at all. The defense has been just suspect all year. This is a defense that was so dominant 2 years ago in 2007 when they went on that Super Bowl run. Really, Ozzie Umunyura didn't show up this year. I know injuries could be a factor. They lost Phillips. But this is a defense that it has a lot of problems going into this offseason. And every move that they made coming into this season, whether it be Canty or Rocky Bernard, and even Boley, who's been decent but not that great, those moves haven't worked for the Giants.
Well, and I don't want to hear the Kenny Phillips excuse anymore.
Right.
Because if you look at every team in the National Football League,
they all have injuries.
They have had significant losses. And I can tell you right now, Joe, the Jets have a bigger injury on defense, losing Chris Jenkins for the year, than any loss for the Jets. Chris Jenkins, are you kidding me? Do you know what that guy does to people? The Jets lost him, their number one pass defense, their number one overall defense, without him. And they've had all their DBs have been hurt in and out of the lineup. Strickland and Shepard and those guys. You know, they've had other guys get banged up too. Pace missed the first four games of the suspension. The Jets have just gotten it done on that side of the ball. The Giants clearly have not. It's back to the drawing board, let's be honest.
You know, the Giants, looking past this week, because you know what? If they're going to play like that against the Minnesota Vikings, who have a lot to play for, I just don't see the Giants beating the Vikings this weekend. But going into the offseason now, they have a lot of question marks. You know, is Bill Sheridan going to come back? What are they going to do with Kevin Gilbride? There's a lot of holes that this team didn't have coming into the year. The offensive line isn't the same unit that it once was. Brandon Jacobs comes, you know, got the big contract, comes off the field after every play huffing and puffing, and that's a problem. The defensive side of the ball, we just spoke about that. This team has a lot of holes to fill.
Well, and I think some of those will get sorted out with some guys will be released, some guys will come back to health. That will help. Because let's not forget, Joe, this isn't like a team that's devoid of talent. The talent is still there. I think getting Kenny Phillips back and some guys back in the secondary, Aaron Ross for a full season would certainly help. You know, offensively, I don't think they're that far away because the passing, how funny is it that the number one concern was the passing game? Joe, that's probably the strength of the team.
Right now
it
is, yeah.
That is unbelievable, right? I mean, that is the strength of the team. The number one thing they were worried about is the only strength of the team. That's just crazy.
It's amazing the transition to see how Eli Manning's gone from really a run-first offense to a really, he's taken the bull by the horns and tried to really go out there and win these games for the Giants. And even with that, I mean, it's not enough. It really isn't enough. Ross, do you have any thoughts about this season and anything that you want to tell Giant fans, especially a guy like Joe Callow, what they can look forward to?
Well, first of all, for Joe Callow, if you're listening, you're a wuss. And you're Italian, so you know what a wuss is.
Oh, boy.
And for everybody else out there, Giants fans, you have a right to be upset, but I do think they'll bounce back next year. I think they're just, there's too much talent there, too well managed, too well coached, you know, to not bounce back next year. I think maybe, you know, Bill Sheridan's likely gone. That'll be the major change. Mm-hmm. But they'll tinker with some other things. I think they'll be back in 2010.
All right, Ross, we're going to come back with some New York Jets football talk, the team in New York that controls their own destiny. Keep it right here on YesNetwork.com. Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Football NYC here on YesNetwork.com. I am Joe Auriemma. With me as always is Ross Tucker. Ross, let's do some New York Jets football talk. We already kind of vented about the Giants. The Jets are the team in New York that control their own destiny. Now, they beat...
And closing out Giants Stadium. Isn't that funny?
It's really...
Isn't that amazing? After all these years, Joe, where the Jets were basically second-class citizens. I mean, the Jets played at Giants Stadium.
Yes.
Think about that. The Jets played at a stadium named after another team, yet they're the ones closing it out. They're the ones closing out in a meaningful game. They can punch their playoff ticket in the last game at Giants. It's
a great
really
story.
Weird.
It's a good story for a franchise that, like you said, has always been the second-class citizen in this area even. It's a great story because now... If they beat the Cincinnati Bengals, they are the ones headed to the playoffs, not the New York Football Giants.
No, and, you know, looking at the last game for the Jets, obviously the big talk is the fact that the Colts sat Peyton Manning,
right,
Dallas Clark, Reggie Wayne, a couple guys on defense beginning midway through the third quarter. Yes, that's true that the Jets were fortunate. However, you know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, Joe, if you looked at the schedule and you saw Colts-Bengals, you weren't real excited about that.
No, right? You're right.
Not at all. But those teams have clinched what they've respectively clinched, and so they have the right to do what they want. The Jets still had to make some plays. Calvin Pace still had to beat that tight end and strip sack Curtis Painter. Brad Smith still had to take that 105, 106 yards to the house. You know, if they don't make those plays, who knows whether or not they win? Who knows whether or not the Colts take out Peyton? You know, you don't know what the situation was. Obviously, that decision by the Colts management, coaching staff, Jim Caldwell, has been heavily criticized. It will continue to be. But the Jets did what they had to do.
I agree.
They could have messed it up, Joe.
I agree.
They could have lost to Curtis Painter and the boys. I've been there.
No, that's true. And, you know, the host of This Week in Football, Gordon Damer, and I, you know, we have a somewhat close relationship. And he said, you know, on his Facebook status that if any Jet fan is excited about that win, they're crazy. They beat a second-class Colts team. I said to him, a win is a win. You still have to go out there. You still have to play the game. When Peyton Manning left that game, he was winning the game. And the Jets still had to come back and win that game.
Joe, they're still NFL players. And
that's
I can
it.
Take you back. One of my worst memories in the National Football League. In 2004, I was a starting left guard for the Buffalo Bills. We were 9-6 going into the final game.
Yeah.
Playing against a 14-1 Pittsburgh Steelers team that had already clinched home field. We played against their backups for most of the game. Their starters played about the first quarter.
Right.
We played against their backups for the rest of the game. We lost. You know who their backups were? Willie Parker, James Harrison.
Oh, yeah.
It turns out their backups were pretty good. Evidently, their backups were pretty good, and we lost. So you can still lose those games against those type of teams.
Now, I want to ask you on the Colts side of the ball here, 14-0. They make the decision as an organization. Bill Polian has never been a fan of. He's more of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is what is really the ultimate means.
Which I agree.
Do you think that they should have given the team more of an opportunity, though, to have that undefeated season?
I think they should have discussed it with their players and really seen what the players wanted, because now it just makes you wonder if there's a bad taste in the players'
mouth. I mean, it seemed like Peyton was upset on the sidelines.
He definitely was, because I think Peyton knows where he stands.
Right.
And that might be the thing that, you know,
catapults me
to the top. I understand the thought process of not wanting to take a chance getting your guys hurt. What I don't understand is, if that's the case, then why'd they all play last week at Jacksonville when they already had home field clinched? Or why they even play 2.5 quarters in the first place, if that's the concern, right? So your only concern about with them was the last quarter and a half? Doesn't really make that much sense to me. You know, Polian has come out and said, you know, 1999, Cornelius Bennett got hurt in a meaningless game for the Colts, and it really hurt them in the playoffs. That's all well and good, but, you know, it'll be very interesting to me, Joe, to see how the Colts players bounce back from this.
It's funny because the year that the Colts didn't sit anybody and they had to play every week, they went and won a Super Bowl. The intensity was there all the way through. And the years that they've clinched everything and sat everybody is the years that they've fallen short in the playoffs. So it's an interesting scenario with the Colts. But going back to the Jets right now, really this is a good week for Jet fans. There's still some concerns. Mark Sanchez did not have a great game again, but the running game.
He was okay, though. He didn't turn the ball over.
Exactly. He's doing just enough to
and he
you know,
made
win
a couple
the game.
Plays on third down that he had. To.
Absolutely. And the running game of Thomas Jones and the defense, that's really what is really the Jets are all about. That's where they are.
I think they should run the ball even more. And Darrelle Revis, the defense, they're just there. They're there every week. I like them against Cincinnati Bengals. I think they'll win the game. I don't know how many of the Bengals starters will play for how long. My guess is if you're banged up or if there's something wrong with you, that you'll probably sit. But again, Jets fans and Jets, I'm just telling you, I've been in that situation before. Don't take the Bengals second string lightly. I can tell you right now, JT O'Sullivan, Larry Johnson, they're going to come to play.
Yes, they are. And, you know, we're going to look around the league and see some of the playoff scenarios that we have going on in the NFL in our next segment, so keep it right here on Football NYC. Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs, upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com. Hey everybody, welcome back to Football NYC here on YesNetwork.com. I am Joe Auriemma with Ross Tucker. Ross, the NFC has been decided. All six teams are in. It's just a matter of seeding right now. If you had you know, had this discussion with me about 6 weeks ago, you would have said that the New Orleans Saints and the Minnesota Vikings are the teams to beat in the NFC. Is that still true?
I don't think so. I would have said, Joe, it's a collision course, New Orleans Superdome, Louisiana Superdome, January 28th or whatever the date is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just seemed like it was almost
it
a
was inevitable.
Foregone conclusion. Yeah. It was like two great powers colliding. Not anymore. I really don't think they'll both get there. And I don't know if either one will get there.
Yeah.
You look at the other teams that they'll have to play, the Eagles, the Cowboys, the Cardinals, the Packers. All of those teams are playing better right now than the Saints and the Vikings are. It's completely flipped onside its head. Now, the Saints do have home field advantage, which will help them.
Right.
And it's not going to be easy to go down this
But they've lost two in a row at home and against a Tampa Bay team that had nothing to play for.
It's hard to fathom. It really, really is. It remains to be seen whether or not the Saints will be able to kind of get their mojo back in time for the playoffs. They better. You know, it's almost like against the Bucs, they were still in this malaise. And still, I said last week that the Saints were looking a little bit too upset to me after they lost to the Cowboys. You know, it was like they were so devastated about this undefeated season when
that they lost a little bit of their mojo.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, the Eagles play the Cowboys and the Arizona Cardinals play the Packers, which both those games could be rematches a week later, which is crazy. Although now, if the Eagles win, they get a bye, and that is huge. I mean, think about it. It's a whole game. You don't have to win.
I know.
You already won.
I know. It's really amazing that the position that, you know, Andy Reid, we questioned the Eagles and Andy Reid earlier in the season, the loss to the Oakland Raiders. I mean, just they were so inconsistent, and when it came down to it, they really looked like the dominant NFC team going into the playoffs, and you can't even take the Arizona Cardinals that lightly because they've been there and done that, and they went to the Super Bowl last year.
And the Eagles, they're kind of, to me, the NFC's version of the Chargers right now. They've got all kinds of firepower.
Mm-hmm.
DeSean Jackson, Celek, LeSean McCoy, Macklin made that huge catch.
Yeah.
They're so young. But they haven't been dominating people either. But I can't wait for the playoffs, period, but really the NFC playoffs in particular.
Looking over at the AFC, and you mentioned the Chargers, you know, the Colts have been the team to beat in the AFC this year, but really the Chargers are on some sort of run right now where, you know, the Colts have had trouble with the Chargers in the past. Do you see the Chargers being the team to beat, or do you think it's still the Colts in the AFC?
If I had to put money on it, I would say the Chargers are going to go to the Super Bowl, but I would also say I think the Colts are the team to beat because you're going to have to go to Lucas Oil, you're going to have to beat them on their turf, and it's still Peyton Manning. And when he's played this year, they've won every game. Think about that. I mean,
that's
I know
true.
The Chargers on a roll. When Peyton Manning plays, he is so good that they find a way to win. I know the Chargers have seemingly had the Colts number, but that doesn't mean that the Colts can't flip that around and kind of flip the script on them. The Colts have played extremely well most of the season, so I hope that's the game because that would be a really awesome game.
That would be an awesome game. But, you know, some of the competition in the AFC, you know, it's amazing how there's so many teams still in contention for those last two spots. I mean, you look at the Jets, they're in the driver's seat right now. You know, the Ravens and the Broncos and the Steelers and even the Dolphins are still involved in this thing. The Jets, they control their own destiny, but really it's open. The whole year for those two wild card spots, it's been a nutty year in the AFC, just jockeying position. And who would have ever thought that at this point the Jets would be in the driver's seat?
Well, and they need to make the most of it. They need to win that game. It's funny, though. I can just picture Dolphins fans, Titans fans, Texans fans, Steelers fans. They all have that one game or maybe those one or two games where they said, gosh, if we had just done, if Chris Brown for the Texans had just made that kick, or for the Dolphins, if they just held on to the lead against the Saints, or all these different scenarios. But to me, Joe, and I wrote about this, SI.com, those things kind of even themselves out, right? You win some of those games, you lose them at the end. Ultimately, you are what you are. And the Texans and the Dolphins and those type of teams, the Steelers, Broncos even, they're in this situation because they allowed themselves to be put into this situation. They put themselves in this situation. So now they got to go out there and win. and hope the Ravens or the Jets lose, neither which I think will happen, which probably means at least one of them will.
I mean, you just mentioned the Broncos. This is a team that's been consistent in the first half, had a bad second half. Brandon Marshall is an amazing receiver. Kyle Orton has been a calming force for that offense, a new coach. And then they go and lose to the Raiders. And that's the game that I think they're really going to kick themselves at the end of the season.
Oh, that's the game that they just – that will bother them the entire offseason, because the Raiders effectively knocked the Broncos out of the playoffs. Although the Broncos are pretty much the third seed, depending on how the different scenarios work. So if the Jets or the Ravens falter, they've got a pretty good shot.
And just coming into talk about his Giants is Joe Callie. You know what? I'm going to hand it over to Joe because...
Well, we're done, Joe, so finish this up. And you got the hunting shirt again.
Well, you know what?
It's a good thing you're going hunting because the Giants aren't.
I am late because I have been dragging a box of charcoal in from my car that the New York Giants dropped off at my house on Sunday afternoon. What a disgrace. On Christmas weekend, it made me sick to my stomach. All the eggnog I drank came up. It was one of the worst days. I swear to God, I had about 15 people in my house, all with Giant shirts on. I even went around the room. I said, what's your favorite memory of Giant Stadium? Had the kids all dressed up. And to put on a display like that, disgusting.
All right. So, Joe, here's the question. You've been a Giants fan for a long time.
Yes.
And this, we'll end the show with this.
Sure.
When's the last time you can remember being this angry, disappointed about your team?
The last time I was really let down like this.
And you really...
Well, you knew that I was mad on Thanksgiving night. Thanksgiving night, I swear, I tell you, when the team just really didn't even want to get off the plane, I hate games like that where they show no emotion.
Giants are not good on holidays.
Oh no, they don't play good on holidays. They don't play well at night. You know what though, Ross? I haven't been high on this team for the second half of the season, and I really expected this last week against the Redskins. And what I think it was last week against the Redskins was that team quit on the coach because they found out a couple of days before that they had a new GM, and they knew the coach wasn't going to be back. That Redskin team quit on the coach that night. The Giants did nothing in that game to make them stand out that they were a better team.
No, the Giants did well.
But they played against a dead team. They knew the coach wasn't coming back. They quit on the team. This week is what the Giants showed you what they really were. They're a terrible defensive team, okay? Brandon Jacobs has not run the ball well all year. It's been an awful running offense this year by the Giants, and they really put a disgrace on the Giants' name, closing out that stadium with all the great memories of Bill Parcells. I'll even take a Ray Hanley year over what I saw from this team this year. Really, no heart.
Well, I'm proud of you, Joe, for showing up. You know,
he was calling you Joe Coward.
Well, you know, like I said, Santa's sleigh dropped off a bag of charcoal at my house, and it had all Giants helmets mixed inside of it. Awful.
All right, close it out.
That'll do it for Football NYC.
Oh, so I get to come in and close it out. Ross, thank you as always. I don't know what you guys talked about, but I'm sure it was better than the New York Giants performance the other day. We'll talk next week. Have a happy and safe New Year, folks. This has been Football NYC. Joe Callow, Joe Armour, Ross Tucker.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say. You're riding high in April, shot down in May. But I know I'm gonna change that tune. When I'm back on top in June. I said that's life.
That's life.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream. But I don't let it get me down. 'Cause this fine old world, it keeps spinning around.